I just want to, just reiterate. I think everything changes in God's presence. Everything changes. If you're going through a tough time, if you're going through stuff in your life, everything changes. And I know how it goes because it goes like that with me as well. You know, initially when you have a battle or whatever, you're facing some other trial, then we're all good to go with our faith. But the more that thing lingers, the more we kind of get disappointed. But I want to trust God this morning that even your heart will be stirred with new faith and expectation to have even the discipline and the expectation to be in His presence. There's few things that can shift things, like when you're going through stuff and you simply get home, you know, you shut the door to your room or whatever, and you put up some music, worship music, preferably ones that you know. Don't be like me that I play a song and then I'm like, I've got no clue what the next verse is. Don't do that. Okay, you want to worship freely. You know, I know the worship team, it just comes. It's the next level. But put on some worship music that you know and you're comfortable with. These days, at least on TV, you have on Spotify or YouTube, you can get the ones with the lyrics. And worship God. Because that's where things change. Obviously, get into His Word. But I mean, just, you know, every time you go into God's presence, you just worship. Everything shifts. And the reality is nothing's changed. It's only you that are coming into God's presence. The devil cannot be there. When you are in God's presence, I want to tell you the devil cannot be there. Because him and the Lord don't sit around in the same fire here. So whatever is bothering you, whatever is on your case, just be in God's presence. And you will receive wisdom. You will receive insight. You will have a good sense of what to do when you're in His presence. And if you don't, then you'll hopefully have the faith just to wait on the Lord and to see Him come through in your life. Amen? Right, so this morning, finally, the last installment of Living Intentionally for Eternity. I must just say, Peter, my man, thank you for last week. It was an English lesson of note. The Here helped me. I stood in awe because we were away and I listened to his sermon in the week, and we even chatted before Sunday. After I chatted with him, I said to Lorette, you know, it's so good to know God sometimes have to send me away so that He can deliver something that He just wants to do, and I'm not going to do as good a job of it as Peter did. That was phenomenal. So thank you for your obedience and ministry. In spite of a weekend that was quite busy, thank you for your faith even in doing that and being willing to minister on Sunday. The Lord was here, that's for sure. So I just quickly want to recap over the last couple of weeks. Who is here for the first time today? I know Etienne is here for the first time. Who else is here for the first time today? Ek sien daai hand. I saw halfway. But we looked at living, and living we just looked again at, you know, this fact that we have a new life. We are born again. We have been changed by the grace of God, and that we need to become doers of the Word. You know, often when we look into a mirror, we go away not remembering, but when we look into God's Word, we need to allow it to transform and change our lives and just shift things. And it's yielding to that Word and allowing God's Word to minister to us and to speak to us. Intentionally is something that many of us don't do. We're professional procrastinators rather than people being intentional. And then when we wake up, you know, when I know that I'm alive and that I have a purpose and a call and a destiny by God, I can wake up and intentionally pursue that, letting God do something with his life. I'm actually intentionally aiming my life at something. obviously the best things to aim your life at is the things that God has ordained you to do, which will obviously change everything. And I think when we intentionally take this life and we intentionally aim it at Jesus Christ, everything changes. Now for most of us, it's, you know, we get born again. You know, if you remember that first couple of years, it's exciting. You know, it's a lot of life and everything. And then life goes on. And many of us that have been saved a long time, you know, you kind of, okay. But I think it's time maybe just to consider again, what am I aiming my life at? Am I still aiming it at Jesus Christ and His purposes and plans for my life? I want to do that which He intended for me to do. And then last week, understand we are pre-positioned for eternity. The four. There's something that we have been saved for. That's something that we need to be intentional for. And if the thing that comes after the four is, you know, will determine what your life is aimed at. So if you are living for riches or being wealthy or very successful, that will determine a lot of your decisions, your plans, your thoughts and everything. Your priorities will be shifted by the thing that comes after the four. Now again, I cannot repeat what Peter said last week, and if you weren't here, I want to suggest that you go and have a look at that sermon. It was really good. But what are you living intentionally for? I think, and if I've been journeying through this, and even as I've been thinking for about today, there's a preparation. What am I preparing for? And it made me think of a bride. Can you just put up a bride for us if you have a? There it is, ladies. Can you remember the day that you got married? I'm almost scared to ask, how many hours did you spend preparing? Or is it not hours, it's days? Nah? It starts way before. There's a, I don't know, manicures and pedicures and hairdos and 20,000 fittings of the dress. And then, you know, it's not just you. You have to prepare everything around it. It's the ladies and everybody that's coming around you. And it's a groot gedoente. And the poor father of the bride is like, oh, my budget. See, he that is wise have sons. How's it me, Swinny? Oh, shucks. Okay, but it made me just think of a bride that is taking a lot of time, effort, you know, spending resources to prepare for this day. Even little girls dream of this day, that they want to prepare for this. Most boys at that age is like, throw, not doing that. I was one of them. Famous last words. But they spend hours. And I think when we consider living intentionally for eternity, for me, there's a preparation in it. There's a, how am I preparing for eternity? Because here's the thing, to speak about eternity, I have not been there. Neither have you. Unless you came back from the dead somewhere. But none of us know what eternity involves. We just know it's very long. Our pastor used to say, if Table Mountain was made out of a diamond, and there's a mossy that comes once every year and then sharpens his beak on the diamond or Tafelberg, and by the time Tafelberg is finished, that's one day of eternity. He said 1 second of eternity. We've got no clue how long eternity is. What are we preparing for? What are we aiming for? And I think sometimes because eternity sort of seems vague, we know it's coming, we are not sure how to prepare for it. So the scripture I feel with life that is so powerful and keeps speaking to me so much is Galatians 2:20. This is for me the base scripture of actually living this out. And it's Paul speaking. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And if you have been born again, I want to remind you that you have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Now, if this is true, then I realize then it's Christ that determines a lot in my life. And actually, he determines everything. If he dwells in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, just, you know, just touch your flesh there quickly. Do you remember you have one? So we are not escaping the flesh just yet. This life that I'm living, I have to live it in the flesh. If you're not in the flesh, you're going to be weird. Ooh. We're not into that. We are walking this out in the flesh, which means this life that is dwelling within me is being made manifest right here, right now, in this place, this body included. This is not a hindrance. Well, for the spiritual, I guess it is. But trust me, God knew the body that you're going to be in, and yet he saved you. So his purposes and plans is for your life is even include where you are living right now. So this life that I now live, I live through Christ in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. And then I love the last part. Who loves me? Who loves me? Who loves me? I want to tell you that you are loved. I know sometimes you wonder, oh Lord, do you still love me because you are not answering my prayers? You are loved. The fact that you are saved means you are loved. And he gave himself for me. I was worth his son dying. That's how precious I am. That's how precious you are. You are so precious that he was willing to give his son for you to die in your place. Now, if that doesn't tell you that you are valuable, then I don't know. Because you are loved. You are valuable and you are precious. And I want you to hear that this morning, because when we speak about eternity, I can walk in it when I know that. When I know it's not me that is living anymore, but Christ in me. That I know that I'm loved, and that I'm precious in his sight. So this morning we want to focus on this eternity thing. We want to take it a bit further. And like I said earlier, eternity is not something we often think about. We are so busy with reality, eternity is not on the cards, right? But eternity kind of has this standoff with the temporal. It's like there's this constant war going on between the eternal and the temporal for the souls of man. The eternal has a plan, but so has the temporal. I remember, you know, we used to have a discussion on whose definition of success are you pursuing? Because the world has a definition of what it looks like to be successful. You know, the nice house, the beach house, you know, going on holiday abroad and so on, bank full of money, etc. And in this side of the world, we're all kind of chasing that thing. We just want to be successful. But I believe God's definition of success is slightly different to that. And I believe the definition of that success is becoming everything that he wants me to be. And if it means that you're going to be the best waiter that this world has seen, but he's anointed you for that purpose because he wants to reach people, then are you willing to walk in it? Or you're always going to wonder, can I just have better? If I'm going to be the best plumber, the best architect, or doctor, or whatever. But it's embracing the success that God has set out for me. Does it mean I shouldn't want to better myself? No. Learning is a good thing. But there's this standoff, there's this war for the souls of men, and that war is so fierce that many start off well, but they don't finish that way. Because the battle between the temporal and the eternal is so fierce. And I know people that are not there anymore, that are not walking the path of faith because the things of this world just ensnared them, broke down their faith to the point that they are not passionate about the eternal anymore. They are just pursuing that which is temporal. And the challenge we have is that the eternal is not visible. Therefore, it often loses to what we can see and experience and walk with. But because who knows? I mean, you know that your circumstances, that your life is very real to you. You're going through the stuff, but we don't look past it to see what God's plan is. So many times when, and I've said this before, but so many times when we've gone through various difficult times in our lives, it's only after we've gone through that I could see what God actually did in me. And then I would know, you probably wouldn't have been able to form this if I just carried on like I carried on. And then this trial happened, and I called out to God in a different way, and I sought Him in another way, and I encountered Him in a different way. And suddenly I walk out on the other side of this trial, and I look different. Loretta and I were speaking earlier, and not saying this arrogantly, but, you know, even in what we are facing now, I said to her, I am so encouraged with the faith that God has built in our hearts over time. That we can face the things we are facing now with faith. Is it working out the way that I think it should? No, it's not working out. I want her just to be healed. The path is looking different to what I want. But my faith in God is still of such that I know He's got this. He is busy in this. I don't understand it. I wish I could. But I don't. And that's okay. Because He's got it. Does this mean His plan has failed? No. He still knows the plans that He has for us. That is good. It has a future. It has a hope. There's things that's going to shift, man. Maybe not in our body, but man is going to shift in the spiritual realm, in our lives. The only tool the devil has to distract you from God is the things of this world. John 2, verse 16 says this. He says, "The lust, which is desire of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, which is anything that tends to promote pride, will keep you from the kingdom of God." The TPT puts it a bit differently. It says that the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of this world, and the obsession with status and importance. Sure. John, you rocker. But He helps us to discern when we are not looking through the lenses of eternal, but rather the now, the temporal. When it doesn't feed my flesh, you know, or my eyes doesn't think it's beautiful, then suddenly it doesn't work. But may we have the eyes of faith every day. When you wake up, that you intentionally wake up, not with what's going to happen, but with an expectation, a faith expectation of what God's going to do today. It's an adventure. Yeah, yellow like this was an invention. Oh my hat. This life that we are having is an adventure with God. If we will allow Him just to move in our lives, He's got so much in store for us. But we get bogged down with it, the temporal, and we don't see the eternal. We miss it. So the devil will either keep you from material things. In other words, he will design lack in your life. He will keep you from actually, you know, getting to the goal that you want to, you believe is success or whatever. So he'll frustrate you, which means that your faith in God is going to be broken down. Or he will, you know, just get engulfed in it, that there's so much that you don't see God in anymore. I've met someone in the past that said, I don't need God. I've got everything I have. And I went, phew. You're brave, my man. You are brave. Maybe stupid, but I mean brave, definitely. I don't know. Very wealthy, got everything he needs, can only aspire to have so much. He doesn't need God. You see, it's not just the abundance of stuff that keeps us from God, but sometimes the lack. The love of money is not only when we have a lot. It can be the love and the desire to have more and not be content with where we are that will keep us from hearing God and seeking Him. The love of money plays it either way. And we need to recognize, and it's for you to discern, are you content with where you're at? Now, in that, there is still the faith to aspire to what God wants to do in my life. Absolutely. We also need to recognize when, you know, when these things are happening, who is at work in my life? Is it the devil or is this God? If it's the devil, then it's warfare. Just take it out. But what we need to realize that when we aim at eternity, when eternity is our thing, it's a long distance race. It's not a sprint. Who of you like long distance? You know, you just run. There's something wrong with you guys. But anyways, you just run and run and run. And I'm thinking, who are you scared of? The only time I run is when something's chasing me. We don't do the run thing. But you know, when you start a long distance race or when you travel to a far off destination, do you see the destination? And yet you carry on. Who's the sucker here? You know, the comrades. They go, and anything, I mean, there's hills and valleys and stuff between that and the finish. And a lot of huffing and puffing and stuff going on there. But the guys carry on. We should have that same tenacity, the same discipline that in this eternal race, we don't see the end. We see it afar off. We don't even know properly how to define it. But God is saying, man, I've got this plan for you. And everything that I'm doing now is I'm aligning it with His purposes, His plans. I don't see the destination, yet I keep running. When it comes to a race of endurance, you're going to need some stamina. You're going to have to pace yourself. You know, when we get born again, that gun goes off. It's like, man, I always say, when I got born again, if it moved, I preached the gospel. You know, if there was almost life, I shared Jesus with him. I was radical, I was crazy, I was on fire for Jesus. And I tried the sprint on a long distance race. And who of you know, long distance people, that if you start off too quickly, you need CPR halfway. So don't do that. So don't get frustrated with a long-term process. You know, for God, a day is like 1,000 years. So I guess get the hint. He'll work in you at His pace. And allow Him to do that. Don't get distracted. Keep your head in the game. Because the reward is awesome. That which God has destined for. This eternal thing. This time with God, this in His presence and with other people that is going to be there, it's going to be absolutely amazing. But we are here on earth now, so we cannot give up. John 10, verse 10b says this. It starts over, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, right? And then God says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now the temporal things will squeeze the living daylights out of this in your life. You go, where's this life that you are speaking for? Lord, where's this abundant life? Why do I not see it in my life? What is happening here? I don't know. But let me share a few other thoughts that maybe will help you. The reward for living for eternity is not only for one day, it's for right now. Trusting God with this eternal processes that He is busy with in my life, the promises that He is giving me, it's that place where I have to step in it, where I have to trust Him fully, where I have to put all my money in that bank and say, God, whatever You decide, I will do it. This side of heaven, with this life that He's speaking about here, is manifested in different ways. It's like when He answers prayer. You pray and He answers prayer. The fact that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, the fullness of the King of Kings, the Godhead is dwelling in you and me. Hello. I mean, just that should blow your mind. That the very presence of God dwells in me and you. This temple, this temporal little body, contains all of heaven. Sure. The fact that Scripture says that you are more than a conqueror and that you are able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That is the eternal being made manifest here right now in your life. The one who says that I give you the authority to bind and loose things. That my anointing on your life is made manifest right now. So this abundant life that God is speaking about happens here right now. And when I align with God and with His purposes in my life, I will see that being made manifest in my life. And the more I yield to it, the more it will happen. Ephesians 3 verse 20 to 21 says, now He, I love this, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Saints, I want you to realize that God's power is at work in you. And you need to recognize it. I need to recognize when God is busy in my life. And not fight God all the time just because of what's going on. Get that eternal perspective. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, who, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love God, expect the surprises of the things that God has prepared for you. The stuff He wants to do in your life. Trust Him to see that. That we will only see that which He has prepared for us. That we will have the faith to believe that the eternal things, the purposes of God will be made manifest right here, right now in my life. But I want to say this, that we need to take note that this abundant life that we are speaking about does not guarantee earthly wealth. If that was the case, then Jesus should have been the richest man on this earth. But Jesus walked in abundant life. He walked in that which His Father ordained for Him. He fulfilled these purposes in His lifetime. He walked in the anointing with boldness. And the invitation to you and me with this eternal purpose is that we will walk in the plans and purposes of God for us right now. Whatever that plays out in this life, that is His will. And I need to walk that out with Him and not get upset over the things I don't have. What is eternal life then? John 17:3 answers this question. Jesus speaking, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In other words, eternal life is to know God, to know Jesus, to know. You know that know that you 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 know? That you know Him intimately, personally. You know, here in your presence, when you sit down and you are in His presence and you know Him and He knows you, everything changes right there. So eternal life is abundant life. Eternal life is abundant life. Now and both is rooted in knowing Jesus Christ. So you want to walk in that abundant life? You want to walk in eternal life? It's locked up in knowing Jesus Christ. You know, and I know that as we sit here today, many of you are passionate about God. Your walk with God is special. Your spiritual maturity is there. But we can never say that we have arrived. We need to press in more. And I believe as we walk this out, as we see the seasons change and the kingdom of heaven coming, that we need to walk this out in a greater measure. So it all starts the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ. And then there's this adventure with God to see the eternal come in my life. Our quest is to live a life for Jesus Christ, to pursue everything that He has for us. And like I say, many of us are sitting here, you served God for many years, and I know and respect that. But let us not be content just where we are right now. Let's trust God for more, to walk deeper and more intimately with Him. So we need to aim at eternity. I realize, even as I think through this, it changes so much of my decisions and my plans and my thoughts. Definitely puts me in a place where I become desperate for what God is saying in my life. I want to be in His presence. I want to know Him. I want to know Him intimately so that I can make the right decisions. The fact of the matter is, years ago I realized that the decisions that I now make has an impact on the generations that flows from me. This kingdom decisions, I'm trusting God, will flow down the generations and generations. Matthew 28:18. If we are aiming at eternity, I believe this is one of the things that we'll just walk in. And you know the scripture, as Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them." Can we do that? Can we not just do the first part? Sometimes we don't even baptize the people. We lead them to Jesus, but we fail to baptize them. Can we even baptize them and then teach them to observe all that He has commanded us? 1 Peter 1:23 says, "Since," and I shared this with when we prayed before, "and since you have been born again, not of perishable seed." This scripture has been ministering to me this last week or so much. I'm not born again from a perishable seed. It's not going to change. It's not going to go fraught. It's not going to do anything. The seed that I've received, this born-again seed that I've received, is not perishable. Love it. But it's imperishable. In other words, that seed will produce its eternal purpose in me. And I'm born again from that seed. And then it's fueled through the living and abiding Word of God. So the more I'm in the Word, the more I'm in His presence, it fuels the seed within me which bears fruit in life. Saints, this walk before God is not possible except through an intimate personal relationship with Him. And this happens in your home there or wherever you have your quiet time, but it happens here too. That's why we pray for one another. We are part of the body. We are pursuing the eternal purposes of God together. So let's stand. And let's just close this off. And I think for many of us that have been saved for years, it is just to come back to that place where I see the eternal purposes of God again for my life. That I will live intentionally for eternity. That I will actually be alive. That I will be intentional in the way that I pursue God so that I could see this eternal purposes, not just for me, but for this world being poured out through me. And that's why I reach the lost. So I want to end up, just read Galatians 2:20 again for us. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gives Himself for me.